aside everything in Jesus' name. Everything. And we look right now to the throne of grace. That wonderful place where we can go to anytime, wherever we might be, no matter our condition, we can come to you by virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ and His blood. So tonight, Lord, we come and we lay aside everything, and somehow, some way, in the midst of this simple Bible study tonight, Father, would you do a miracle? Would you touch each person, not naturally, but supernaturally, where they feel and know and sense the manifest presence of the living God? And that, Lord, you move in and out among us in the midst of your people, touching the areas of our lives that only you can see. We look to you and only you tonight. And we are so thankful that you have saved us, redeemed us, sealed us, and Lord Jesus, that one day, maybe today, you are coming for us. Lord, bless your word tonight. And bless me and help me as I teach it. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn to this book that we're loving, falling in love with tonight, the book of Leviticus. What a wonderful book we've been studying. We're in chapter 16 tonight. Leviticus chapter 16, as I turn there with you. Wonderful chapter tonight. And, you know, I want to talk to you tonight about what the day, this is a day of atonement, Leviticus 16. I want to talk to you about what the day of atonement could never do, what it could never, ever do. But we're going to cover these 34 verses, and a lot of this is going to be a lengthy reading, and then I'm going to make applications, so bear with me tonight. Remember that Leviticus is the call, or the theme, I should say, is the call for holiness. Over and over again, the Lord says, for I am holy, therefore ye be holy, saith the Lord God. And chapters 1 through 16, as we have been learning here tonight, this is the breaking point, matter of fact, not in the middle of the book, but the breaking point, because verses or chapters 1 through 16 teach us about the way to approach God. When we get into chapter 17 about the next week, about the blood, of course, and everything, we're going to learn from 17 to 27 about how our walk should be separate and set apart to the Lord. So we left off last time with chapter 15, and boy, that was a tough chapter, wasn't it? It was like an eye-opening chapter, if you will, seeing our sin as God sees it. And so chapter 16 brings us to, for the Old Testament Jew, the most important day of the year was Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. The word atonement means simply to cover. And we know that the Old Covenant didn't take away sins. It literally covered their sins and so forth until the true Lamb of God came and removed them. Amen? And so the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 9:15, it says that for this reason, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death. Listen carefully now. For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant. So when Jesus came and he died on the cross, he reached all the way back to Adam and all the way forward and redeemed those under the old covenant. With all that being said, let's look what the Day of Atonement could never do, beginning in chapter 16 tonight. It says, now the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane, or remember that word is strange or unauthorized fire before the Lord. They did what God commanded them not to do, the presumptuous sin there. And it says, and they died. In other words, God smote them. He killed them right there at the altar. And it says that the Lord said to Moses, now you tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil. Now that's before the mercy seat, which is on the ark. So that's the Holy of Holies. You just can't come any way you want to, God says. Not like Nadab and Abihu, that his sons who died. It goes all the way back to Leviticus chapter 10. It's picking up there. And so you can't come the way they did. If you do, it says here, he says, you're going to die. And he says, and the reason? He says, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. So we know that only one man, And only one time a year could that one man, which is the high priest, enter in behind the veil, the Holy of Holies, there before the Ark of the Covenant, there before the Shekinah glory of God. He could only enter in one time. And verse 29 tells us that it's the seventh day, the 10th day of the seventh month. No, that's not right. It's the seventh month of the 10th day. You can tell I'm a bit confused tonight, but it runs rapidly in my family on Wednesday nights. And so God says, you know, you can only approach me one way, and that's His way. And you can only, and we can only, approach God by the blood. Amen? That's what we're going to learn. Look at verse 3. So then Aaron, he shall come, and verse 17 says he's going to come all by himself. He's going to be alone. So Aaron shall come into the holy place. Here it is, with the blood. That's the only way he can come. And it says, and of a young bull as a sin offering, and a ram as a burnt offering. So we've already learned what these offerings mean. Both represent, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, the work that He did on the cross. Jesus is our burnt offering, speaking of the altar, speaking of the cross. He's also our sin offering. He paid our sin debt. Amen? So this is what this is speaking of tonight. And so look at the preparation now for Aaron the high priest, who's going to enter all by himself. Look at the preparation that he must go through. It says, now Aaron shall put on the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body, and he shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. You know what God tells us exactly, as the Old Testament saying, if you're going to approach me, Aaron, you're the high priest, you do exactly as I say. Amen? God doesn't mince word. He really, really means what He says. And so Aaron, he had to lay aside his elaborate clothing. Remember the garments that were the beautiful, the breastplate and all the turban, all the beautiful embroidery. He had to lay that aside, that elaborate outfit, if you will. He had to wash himself, no doubt there at the laver. And then he had to put garments on, literally, that were plainer than those of just an ordinary priest. In other words, they were only four pieces that he put on, those four, and they were all white, they were linen, and he put them on, and when he did, he looked like a servant. He looked literally like a slave. Does that bring back any memories of, say, John chapter 13, before Jesus became the sin of the world? Remember there, he was in the upper room, and what did he do? He said, when he had he knew that the hour had come, and he had loved those that God had given to him, he loved them until the end, and he knelt down and girded himself up his sash. And what did he do? He took the form of a slave, the form of a servant, and he washed the disciples' feet. This picture of a high priest here is a picture of Jesus, isn't it? See, Aaron had to lay aside all the beautiful, the high priest, the clothing, the garments that God had given to them to make for him. Well, when Jesus, remember, what did Jesus do? Jesus laid aside his deity. He was still God. But he laid that aside, became man, died on the cross for our sins, and then thank God he ascended to heaven, entered back into the Holy of Holies, and now is our great high priest. Amen? Well, after Aaron does his job, you know what he's going to do? He's going to come back later in the holy place where he had puts his garments, and he's going to put them back on. When Jesus rose from the dead and ascended, you know what? He entered into the wonderful office that he has today. Not only is he king and redeemer, man, he is our intercessor. He is everything we'll ever need. Amen? He is our great high priest. He feels what we feel. He knows what we're going through. He is so sympathetic, if you will. He knows everything about what we do and how we're going through in this life. And he says, and he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel, now watch this, two kids of the goats as a sin offering, one ram as a burnt offering, and Aaron shall offer it, or literally he will kill it, there's the substitute, and the bull is a sin offering, which is for himself. So he's preparing, Aaron has to get himself right before he can ever approach God. And he'll, for himself, and it says, make atonement for himself and his house or his family. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat, or literally that word is only used here in this chapter, the scapegoat, or you could even say the escape goat, because he's going to be released, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, make atonement for himself, his house, and shall kill the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. And then he shall take, watch this now, then he'll take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense. That sweet incense, that sweet fragrance, which is the fragrance of Christ, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil, and he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord. And look at the reason: that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, or which is the Ark of the Covenant, lest he what? So God in his mercy, how would you like to, you know, we read that and we don't see that picture. Listen, how would you like, there the cherubim embroidered right there on the veil, covering the Ark of the Covenant, covering the Shekinah glory of God, the thunders and lightnings, whatever the colors that were happening. Would you just feel like you could just walk in any way you wanted to? Oh no. Man, listen, to look upon God meant death, didn't it? So he was forbidden to see the Shekinah glory of God. And that, so the incense was like a smoke screen, if you will, to protect him from God's presence. And look what it says in verse 14. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull, sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. Now, if he didn't know east from west, it means he was going to be in a lot of trouble, right? And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger, not twice, not three times, but seven times. Meaning, remember we learned Sunday about God's favorite number seven, meaning perfect, meaning complete fullness, meaning total completion for the atonement. And then he'll kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Now he's moving from himself to the people of God. He'll bring its blood inside the veil to do that as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkle it on the mercy seat before the mercy seat. And so he'll make atonement for the holy place. So now he's going to clean up the sanctuary. And the reason? Because of the uncleanness, the impurities, the sins of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do at the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, until he comes out. So he had to be alone during this time, that he may make atonement first for himself. And the reason? He's a sinner. For his household. Why? They're sinners too. And not only that, it says for what? All the assembly of Israel, because they were all sinners. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord, make atonement for it. And he'll take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and he'll put it on the horns of the altar. And in other words, all around. So everything, as we've learned from the New Testament, everything, the altar, the tabernacle, everything had to be purified with the blood. This is the Day of Atonement. There's no other day like it, only one time a year. And he says, and then he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times, cleanse it, consecrate it, literally set it apart because of the uncleanness or the impurities of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and even look at that, even the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay not one hand. Remember when before they would just lay one hand on the head of the animal, but this is a day of atonement. He would lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, and look what he would do. He would confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and concerning all their sins. Those three things, iniquities, transgressions, and sins. Iniquity, what is that? Iniquity, if I could put it like this, iniquity is the want to. You may not do it, but it's the want to inside of you saying you want to do it. Transgression is willful disobedience to the Word of God. You cross the line. In other words, you know that the speed limit is 60 miles an hour, but you drive 75. But you know what it is, but it's that willful disobedience. Why do you do it? Because of iniquity. Why? I just want to. But sin is a different matter. Sin is just missing the mark. In other words, you didn't mean to sin, but you did sin. The reason you sinned, because we're all sinners, because we're in Adam. But thank God we're no longer in Adam, we're in Christ. Amen? All right. Now, since you got all of that, Now look what happened, what he did with the iniquities, the transgressions, all their sins. He putting them on the head of the goat, and look what happens, and shall send it away in the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. And that man better be a good man, because you don't want that goat to come back. Amen? And he says, the goat then shall do something, shall literally carry or bear on itself all the iniquities to an inaccessible region, to a uninhabited land, in other words, a solitary place, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. What a strange offering. You have two goats. One's going to die, and one's going to live. The live goat, now, all the sins, all the transgressions is now identified, if you will. I just transferred, imputed, whatever you want to call it, every sin of an entire nation on the head of a goat. The live goat. I think I would rather be the dead goat. You understand? Now think about that for a minute. I mean, can you imagine when we start looking at this, we're not talking about goats, are we? No, we're talking about our Savior. You know, the dead goat represents Jesus' death on the cross. The live goat is the sin of the world being placed upon him. Amen? The loneliness. Think about that. The sin of the world being placed upon our Savior. Think about being sent to an isolated place, meaning not just the tomb, loved one, but whenever he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In other words, to a place that he had never been before, to that solitary place. Jesus is our great high priest. Amen? He took it all for you and me. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, it says, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of all of us. Let me ask you a question. Was the goat guilty? No, it wasn't guilty. That goat had all the sins that was placed on that goat. Listen, he had never sinned. He didn't do any of those sins at all. They were laid upon him. He was innocent. And you know what he did? He allowed the guilty to escape the consequences of all their sins. Does that sound familiar? It's exactly what our Lord has done. Now listen, this was a public ceremony, the laying of the hands upon the goat, sending him out into the world. That was a public ceremony, and they witnessed, they could see that goat. That represented all of their sins being carried away into the wilderness by a suitable man. And when they were being carried away, they knew that that meant that all the sins of that year, the whole year, okay, only once a year this happened. Before that, it was every day they had to bring sacrifices repeatedly over and over and over. But this day, oh, all the sin, everything, known, unknown, all of it, laid upon the head of that goat. And when that goat was taken away to the wilderness by a suitable man to be disposed of, to be sent away, they saw their sins literally be taken away and never be charged again with them. That's the way they were taught. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 103:12, that as far as the east is from the west, our transgressions, our sins, what have been removed from us. Thank God for that tonight. Amen. Now, he says, then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting. And look what he's going to have to do now. He has to take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place. And he's going to leave them there. He's got to wash his body all over again with water in the holy place. And now he puts on his high priestly garments, if you will. And he comes out and he offers his burnt offering and the burnt offering of for the people to make atonement for himself and all the people. And the fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar, meaning the best part. Remember, the fat goes to the Lord. So once the high priest knew and he was certain that the goat had been taken away by a suitable man, and he realized and hoped that that goat was not going to come back, let's put it that way, that's when he redressed himself and came out to talk with the people. And it says, and he who released the goat as a scapegoat shall wash his clothes, bathe in water, his body in water, afterward to go into the camp, and the bull of the sin offering, and for the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins, flesh, and their offal. And he who burns them shall wash his clothes, bathe his body, and after it he may come back into the camp. And this shall be a statute forever for you in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, that would be mid-September, mid-October, right in that time frame, you shall afflict your souls. In other words, God says, once a year, this time, On this special day, the Day of Atonement, you're going to examine your hearts. You're going to examine your lives, and you're going to look deep within. You're going to repent of, it's time to deal with sin. It's time to deal with all the wrong things. And he says, not only that, you're going to afflict your souls, but you can't work either. No work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who lives or dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It's a statute forever, and the priest who is anointed and consecrated to minister as a priest in the Father's place shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes, the holy garments, and he shall make atonement for everything, for the everything. Look at that. The holy sanctuary, for the tabernacle of meeting, for the altar, for the priest, and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. So year after year after year. And it says, and he did as the Lord commanded. This is the only day that the Jews, the Old Testament Jews, the Jews anyway, were given a day to mourn or fast and pray. This is the only day that they had been given. Now listen carefully. The Day of Atonement was only a shadow. It wasn't the reality, amen? And when we think about that, you know, no Old Testament Jew, not one, ever, could ever leave the tabernacle, even though they saw that goat carry the sins had been atoned for, means to cover their sins. No Old Testament Jew could leave the tabernacle and say that my sins had been put away forever. They could never say that. But we can, amen? Now let's make application tonight after that lengthy reading. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews and let's look at what God has done for us and what the old covenant and what the Day of Atonement could never do for anyone. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 9 and let's go ahead and begin, in verse 6. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6, it says, when these things had been thus prepared, talking about the things in the earthly tabernacle, the earthly sanctuary, had been prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. Now look at verse 7. But in the second part, that's the Holy of Holies, that's where Aaron just went, the high priest went alone once a year. That's what we just learned, the Day of Atonement. And look how he went. Not without blood. And we've already learned he offered for himself, then he offered for the people's sins, not committed in ignorance. So in other words, the known sins on the Day of Atonement, the known sins had already been taken care of. Because see, when you sinned, God set up the burnt offering, the sin offering, the grain offering, all the offerings, and you would go to the priest and say, I've blown it, and make an offering. Do you understand? So all the known sins were taken care of, but not the unknown sins. So that's why that day was so important, because then only once a year, as we've learned, only one man could enter into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God for the people. And now listen, the Jews, they long for that day. They even though it was a day of mourning, a day of examining their lives, and it began at sundown on the ninth day and ended at sunset on the tenth day. And they would grieve and check themselves out, check their hearts out. And because, see, they wanted to make sure that everything that they had done, known and unknown, was covered by God. Amen? So it was a time that they longed for and realized that their sins were going to be taken care of. In other words, is there anything better than having a clean slate? In other words, knowing that all of your sins have been taken away. Amen? That is so vital for us to know that tonight. 100% atoned for. Now look at verse 8 though. Now the Holy Spirit indicating this, indicating what? Here it is. That the way into the holiest of all, that means into God's presence, was not yet made manifest. In other words, there was no open access to God. The Day of Atonement, what it could not do, it couldn't do, it could never give everyone access of God to God. Only one man could enter in. Only the high priest. Everyone else had to depend upon him and wait outside for him. So we look at this. It says, the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing, the one that we just learned about there in Leviticus chapter 16. So the access to God was limited. Could you imagine never being able to go to God? That you had to bring a sacrifice. You brought a lamb, you brought this and brought this, but never being able to go into the presence of God. See, that's so foreign to us because we're New Testament Christians. Amen? And I look at that and say, oh Lord, the earthly limited us, but boy, the heavenly is unlimited. You can go to God any time. Now listen, just imagine for a minute, if you were an Old Testament Jew, and it was the Day of Atonement, and you saw the scapegoat, you know, go out, and a suitable man took him into the wilderness. Now, there's many different ideas about what that means. The scapegoat, some believe that the Jewish tradition was that they would take the scapegoat out and put him to a very high mountain and just push the thing over and let him die, you know. So there's all kinds of different, I don't know. I just know he went into the wilderness and that's where you want to keep him, amen. But imagine, you know, you're there at sunset, the end of the, you're getting ready to go eat because you haven't had anything to eat and you can go back to work now, and all of a sudden you're walking home or getting ready to leave your house and go down to see your neighbor, and all of a sudden you see that goat. You know, a scraggly thing, you know, walking back into the town and meaning all he's back. Do you understand? Would that be a little frightening maybe? Do you understand what I'm getting? Well, the reason I said all that is because it says in verse 9, look at this. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered. Here it is. What can the Day of Atonement, what it cannot do? Cannot make him, meaning the Old Testament saint, the Old Testament worshiper, okay, cannot make him who performed the service what? Perfect. In regard to what? The conscience. Why? Look at this. Because it was concerned only with that and nothing else, okay? Concerned only with all foods and drinks and various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation, meaning when the old covenant was temporary, okay? So the old covenant could not and did not, and the Day of Atonement could not and did not reach into a person's, the Old Testament saint's, deepest needs. And that is this. It could not cleanse their conscience. Man, listen to me. You ever have your conscience accuse you? Now, don't lie to me. Come on. I think about this and I say, oh Lord, can you imagine, see what we don't understand today because we're New Testament saints. See, we're sealed. We have the Holy Spirit living in us and upon us. We feel the life of God in us. The resurrected Savior lives in our hearts. Amen. Well, in the Old Testament, we were all saved the same way by grace through faith, Old Testament, New Testament. But the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit has come within us. Do you understand? Big difference. Can you imagine? So there goes the goat. There goes all my sin. Thank God. It's covered. That's it. It's just covered. But I feel guilty. See, an Old Testament saint could never taste for true forgiveness. Do you see what I'm getting at? They could not, their conscience could never say, I know that my sin has been put away forever and ever and ever and so forth. And you say, well, Bill, imagine never feeling, sensing in your heart anywhere that you have been freed from the past. I would be a nervous wreck if I did not believe that my past was in the eternal sea of God's everlasting forgetfulness. Amen? I don't know about you, but I would be trembling. You know, and I say, oh Lord, you're so good. And you say, but Bill, why was that? Why did that happen with the Old Testament Jew? Because see, it was, remember, it says the what? The washings and the foods and the drinks and all the fleshly ordinances. What does that mean? It means that all those Old Testament offerings, it made them outwardly clean where they could approach God, but it did not do anything to them inwardly. It would never remove their sin, their guilt. Oh, it would atone. But it would never, ever, ever clear the conscience. It is a terrible thing for your conscience to accuse you, bring things up. May I tell you, if your conscience, if you're a New Testament believer, new creation in Christ, and your conscience is accusing you, let me tell you that it's not God. If you're being accused of a past sin, it's not God. If it's being brought up to you, something you did 10 years ago, 5 years before, you know, whatever. Listen, God has washed those away. The Bible says he remembers our sin no more. Divine forgetfulness. Amen? And I look at this and I say, oh Lord, look at verse 11. But Christ came. Boy, thank God. How did he come? He says, as high priest of good things to come, which was a greater and more perfect tabernacle. It's not like that one back in Leviticus chapter 16, folks. Oh, no. The perfect tabernacle. And look, it's not made with hands. That is, it's not of this creation. And look how he came. Not with the blood of goats and calves, or bulls and goats, same thing. But with his what? His own blood. Jesus entered the most holy place once and for all. Once and for all, the holy place. Where? In heaven. See, the tabernacle on earth was just a copy. It was a shadow of what was in heaven, the reality. Amen? Jesus entered heaven for us. He entered with his own blood. Where did he pour out his blood? Well, yes, but where did he pour? Listen, that blood had to get to heaven, folks. Are you listening to me? It had to get on the mercy seat. The mercy seat. Jesus is our mercy seat. He is the propitiation for our sins. There in the Ark of the Covenant, remember what was there? It was the Ten Commandments. We've all broken that. Under in the Ark, here's the lid, the golden lid, and you lift it up and you look. There's Aaron's rod that budded, speaking of the resurrection, and also the authority that we despised. And there was also something else. It was that the golden pot of manna. The provision. Remember the Jews, what did they say? They said, manna, meaning, what is it? They tried to bake it, slice it, cook it, roast it. They did everything they do to change what God was providing for them. So they despised God's provision. All of those things, Jesus took all the laws that we've broken, everything we've ever done. He walked into heaven with his own blood, and he poured it out where? Over the things that we've done. Now, when God sees us, he sees us in his Son. He sees the blood of Jesus. We have been imputed Christ's perfect righteousness. Him who knew no sin became sin. Amen? For us. Boy, I'll tell you, the old covenant, the old Day of Atonement could not do that. And that's why we look at this and I say, oh, Lord, this is so wonderful. With his own blood, he entered the holy place there in heaven once and for all. That means sufficient for all time and sufficient for everyone who will trust in him. Having, that's past tense, look what he did, obtained eternal redemption, and he did it for us. Now listen, it is very wise for a New Testament believer to put the same worth on the blood of Jesus that God has given it. Amen? Boy, that is so very important. We have access to God. If we looked over in chapter 10, just look at it for just a moment, chapter 10 in verse 19, look what it says. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, or literally having that confidence, that divine confidence in our hearts, that what? To enter the holiest, which the Day of Atonement, no one could enter but the high priest, not the people. They never had access to God like that. But we do. It says, the holiest, how? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated through us, through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, look what we're to do. Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. God is so good. Look at verse 13 now in chapter 9. This is incredible. It says, for if the blood of bull and goats, that's what they were offering there, remember? And watch this now. And the ashes of a heifer. Very interesting. In other words, sprinkling the unclean. And you see that word, look, let's go back to verse 13 for a moment. You see the word if? Everybody see that? That's one of the most important words in this text. It says, for if. He's doing a contrast. He says, if the blood of a bunch of bulls, if the blood of a bunch of old goats, listen, and then he includes the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean. Those are in sin. And look what it says, and sanctify, set them apart for what? The purifying of the flesh. Look at these words. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, Cleanse your what? There it is. Oh, my, my. Cleanse your conscience from what? From dead works. In other words, from religion, from self-effort, from saying, I can please God in my own way. No, you can't please God, and I can't please God. The only way we can please God is being the one who pleased Him, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you mean I don't have to perform over and over for you to love me? He says, oh, no, no. Jesus paid it all. We're not perfect, but we're progressing. Amen? Yes, that's right. And cleanse your conscience from dead work to do what? To serve the living God. And for this reason, talking about verse 13 and 14, this reason, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death. Now watch this. For the redemption of the transgressions under the what? The first covenant. They're all the way back to the Old Testament saints. For those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Now listen very carefully. When I look at this one, these scriptures I just read, I love them. And the reason I say that is that when did you notice it said the ashes of the red heifer, you know, in there? That is, I want you to, maybe later tonight or tomorrow, you know, Numbers 19. Just study that out. Just think about it for a minute. I went and just listed the things that were there. Let me read them to you. You had to have bull blood, okay, plus red heifer ashes, plus cedar wood, plus hyssop, plus scarlet. Then you had to mix it with water, and then you sprinkled it on the unclean. Are you following me? It said there, if you have all those things, it says it sanctifies the purifying of the flesh. In other words, you could at least, God would accept you. Now listen, I started looking at that and I said, okay, now if the ashes of a red heifer, if the blood of bull and goats, all these things that I just read to you mixed up, if that will make an Old Testament Jew clean in the eyes of God and keep him from being put to death or cut off from the land of Israel, if the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Covenant, if it had so much power with God's approval, because He's the one who put the sacrifices and said, this is what you have to do. If it had so much approval from God, how much more will we be accepted through the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen? And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you see, the blood of Jesus, it doesn't cleanse our flesh. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about it cleanses internally our conscience. Now, listen to me very carefully. If we don't believe verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot, cleanse your conscience? Okay, if we don't believe verse 14, listen, we're no better off than an Old Testament saint. Amen? We're no better off. You know, people say, my conscience is just killing me. It's driving me crazy. Well, you're living in Numbers 19 land. You're living in shadows. Listen, you say, but Bill, I said, I understand that. I do. But listen, whenever that happens, what should you do? See, it was so perfect today because as I was preparing this, I'm telling you everything, I think almost everything I can remember that I've ever done in my life came up. You understand? And I'm just fighting all day long going, okay, Lord, you don't have to let this happen. You know, I can prepare the text without really experiencing all of that junk. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to remember all that stuff. Man, I'm shaving. I'm thinking about it. Oh, where did that come from? Well, you know, no. You have to cast those lies down. Oh, yes, that happened. You bet. Okay, yep, absolutely. But you know what? I don't, the blood and bulls and goats, if they did all that and the ashes of a red heifer, they did all that. Okay, well, that, praise the Lord. God approved all that. But I tell you something. I have the blood of Jesus. I have the blood of His Son. And it has cleansed my conscience. It's washed all that junk away. All my past, all your past. Amen? They're under the blood of Jesus and God doesn't even see that anymore. Listen, we have a better covenant. We have a better sanctuary and we have a better high priest. And here's the deal. Conscience, our conscience, you know what it does? Our conscience, it tells me personally what I think of myself. But the blood of Jesus tells me what God thinks of me. And He calls me son. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. Amen? And I look at that and I say, oh, the old covenant, the day of atonement, the most important day to the Old Testament Jew, you know, could never ever do what the new covenant has done. Look at just with me for a moment. Go to chapter 10 while we have a second here. Chapter 10 of Hebrews. And look at verse 1 with me. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, meaning Christ, okay? And not the very image or the substance of the things can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. The day of atonement there. The high priest would enter in and so forth. In other words, all that was an atonement, a covering. It was just a shadow. It wasn't the reality. I promise you, folks, I mean, have you ever had the shadow of a dog bite you? Huh? Oh, listen, you know, listen, I remember when I was growing up with my sister raised me. We didn't have AC or none of that in the house. We didn't have bathroom or anything. It was bad. And we had a gas stove. And, you know, that's what heated the entire house. And remember those old wood floors, you know, and they were all shellacked and shiny. And, well, anyway, we had company, and somebody had to have my bed, and I slept on the couch. Well, you know, if you have the gas stove just turned up a little bit, you know how it casts the flame, but you see a shadow, the light. I'm sitting there sleeping, you know, and I kind of wake up, and I look. Have you ever seen the shadow of a stinging scorpion against the wall, you know, with that? And here I am in the bed, and the stove is put the light, and I don't know where that stinging scorpion was, but we were famous for stinging scorpion. I mean, you know, 15 or 20 a week. It was just common there, you know. It was a rough life. Man, that shadow. But the thing is, and of course, I wasn't very smart then. I was terrified. But see, I know now that shadow can't bother me. See, a shadow can't ever hurt you. The shadow of a key is not going to unlock one door in your life. Do you see what I'm getting at? You know, the shadow of the cross cannot take away sin. It has to be, we have to get something that's real. The Day of Atonement could never do that. It just covered their sins. You know, year after year, sacrifice after sacrifice, never making the worshiper perfect. Thank God that we are not living in the shadows. That we have experienced the real, the reality, the true Christ, amen? The true Messiah. You know, listen, we're pro-Israel, man. But today, Judaism, think about it, they're still in the shadows. They have no temple. They have no high priest. They have no altar. They have no place to sacrifice. They're still living off shadows, and they're going to be doing that until the second coming. I mean, there's a remnant of believers there now, of course. But until the second coming, there's just going to be that small amount. And then all of Israel, are those, that remnant will be saved. It says in verse 2, for then they would have not ceased to be offered. In other words, if the sacrifices had any power to make you perfect, they'd cease, but they didn't. They said, for the worshipers once purified would have no more consciousness of sins. But see, they do have the consciousness of sins back then. But in those sacrifices, watch what happens. Talking about the Day of Atonement. There is a reminder of sins when? Every year. See, the Day of Atonement, it didn't remove our sins. It's something it couldn't do. It didn't remove their sins. It was always a reminder of their sins. And their nation's sins were just covered and not cleansed. Like I just said, they never had an inward witness of that true guilt being gone. Their hearts were not washed out. David even said it this way in Psalm 51:3. He says, and my sin is always before me. And then in verse 4 it says, for it's not possible that the blood of bull and goats, as we just learned, could take away sins. It doesn't matter how sincere the Old Testament saint was, no matter how repentant that they were, no matter how hard they tried. He could even try to perfectly keep the law, but it did not happen. It didn't work. They were just covered. Only Jesus can take away sins. Amen? There's no other person, no other name. There is absolutely no other way but Jesus Christ. Look back there at just chapter 9 again, and let's close with the scripture tonight. And look at verse 28. It says in verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 9, so Christ was offered once, thank God, to bear the sins of many, meaning those who trust and believe in him. And to those who, what? Eagerly await, look what he's going to do. Eagerly wait for him, He will appear. That means to look upon with the eyes. He will appear a second time. And he's going to do it apart from sin because he's already dealt with our sin. And he's going to do it for what? Salvation. Now listen, let's close with this thought. On the Day of Atonement, after all the sacrifices were made, Aaron, we've already learned, remember, he would take off the four pieces of the linen, of the solid white linen trousers and the hat and all that. He'd lay them aside. He would go wash, and then he would put on his high priestly garments, and he would come out to greet the people. Suitable man would have that goat, who's going to take that, meaning all the sin of the nation, into a suitable place, into the wilderness. So on the Day of Atonement, all the people eagerly waited outside for Aaron to come. They were, and all their eyes were just fixed up him. And the reason is because they knew that when Aaron came out, that meant two things. It meant, number one, that God had accepted the sacrifice. Amen? That sacrifice had been accepted. And they knew that their sins were atoned for. They were eagerly waiting. Their eyes were fixed on waiting to see the high priest. Loved one, listen. Jesus is coming. It tells us there in Hebrews, to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear. Our great high priest is still in the Holy of Holies. Amen? Do you understand? He went in with the blood, just like Aaron went in the blood, but Aaron came back out. That's the old covenant. Our high priest went in with his own blood. He's still there. He's seated at the right hand of God, majesty upon high. He ever liveth now to make intercession for us. Now, listen, it won't be long. We don't even know when, maybe today. But whenever God the Father is going to turn to Christ the Son, and he's going to say, because no man knows the hour, Jesus said. He said, and God the Father is going to say, go get your sheep. Go get your bride. That's going to be a day. And our high priest is going to come out of the Holy of Holies, and he's going to come for those who are eagerly waiting for him. Are you waiting for him eagerly? He is coming for us. Thank God. It may be today. I see it always as a motion picture in my mind. I see him rising and saying, okay. And then we're going to hear that shout. We're going to be with him. We're going to be with him in the air. We're going to meet him in the air. What does that mean? Well, you know, can you imagine being instantly gone from this place and seeing Jesus, being with the God-man? He's real, like we talked about Sunday. He's real. He's there right now. He's there for you. He's there for me. And I'm so thankful that he died and he has cleansed our conscience. He has cleansed our hearts and he has forever, ever, and ever put away our sin. Father, I thank you tonight for all that you've done. I thank you just for this simple Bible study tonight, Lord, allowing us the honor to look into your word and hear divine truth and know, Lord, that tonight we stand cleansed because of the blood of Jesus. Father, I pray for those tonight whose hearts and minds are tormented about their past, tormented about some sin that they did in their past, or, Lord, they can't get over it. I pray, Father, that tonight that they would look at the same blood that Jesus shed and put the same worth on it that God has placed upon it, because that blood has cleansed our consciences. How much more shall it cleanse? We thank you for that, Lord, because there's nothing like the blood of Jesus. Touch your people tonight, Father. Encourage them. Lord, somehow, some way, explode the supernaturalness of God all over Calvary, Fort Worth. Let there be a new fear fall back into our hearts again. Let not the world grab us and hold us and steal from us. Let us not be a people that walk in unbelief and doubt. But let us be a people who look at our Savior and follow Him and serve Him with all of our heart. For only there will we find our true potential that's waiting for us, ready to become active in our hearts. So Lord, bless and heal tonight. Touch lives. Encourage them. Bless their children, their grandchildren. Provide every need that they have, Father. Open doors. Bring a harvest of blessing into each and every life. We love you, we praise you tonight, and we honor you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, Amen.